Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
How's Alex Bregman over the weekend? You hear the devastation in his voice. Like, the guy's shattered that he's going to miss 10 weeks. It seems that's what he missed in 2021 with a similar injury.
Man.
Both he and Cora said it's very similar to what he dealt with in 2021. So let's say it's 2 months, 2.5 months, whatever it is. The guy's down. He's devastated. And meanwhile, Rafael Devers can't be bothered to get his glove and get out to third base, volunteer it, be asked about it, any of that. So now you have Marcelo Meyer, who I didn't realize this. Nick told me in the last break. Marcelo Meyer, I assumed had been playing quite a bit of third base in AAA because he told us, Keith, we're friends.
Yeah, best friend of the show.
We're very, very tight, very, very good friends with Marcelo Meyer. You were tweeting out the picture all weekend.
Yeah.
And I assumed since he told us opening day at Worcester, he was going to play 4 days a week at short, 1 day a week at second, 1 day a week at third. They play 6 days a week in AAA with Mondays off. I assumed he had just been playing that much third base. He's only played 4 games at third base.
Well, they changed recently to a ton of second base games, right? So I think he was playing short primarily because that's what he is. But then with this whole idea of maybe Campbell can play first, they've been playing him at second a whole bunch. And then you're like, all right, he might get called up and he's going to play second. And then boom, Bregman goes down and he gets called up in the middle of the day and shows up and is playing third base now. So he's one of many guys out of position.
So Meyer is a shortstop. He's going to be a third.
Yeah.
Campbell is maybe a second. I don't even know what Campbell is. He's working on playing first base. These are two guys who...
But in the meantime, playing second and center.
Correct.
So, we're taking grounders at first.
Center, a little cameo in left field in the year, and they're like, no, too much. Let's take that away.
Center, second, just center. Maybe first.
Good. And because Rafael Devers can't be bothered to move around, you now have multiple guys trying to get their feet under them at the big league level.
Right.
Guys who I think could contribute, and in the case of Campbell was contributing. Meyer, it's early, but we've seen a little bit already in the first 3 games. Both those guys are going to play out of position because Rafael Devers just wants to sit there in DH.
So I was of the mindset, and you and I disagreed on this. I think it was a thoughtful conversation, however. We both saw the other side.
Healthy back and forth.
I was like, let somebody else play first. He's not a first baseman, talking about Devers. I thought he'd be terrible at it. He's locked in at hitting. Let him hit. And obviously it became even more of a circus because he threw Breslow under the bus. John Henry flew to Kansas City. And they still didn't even get him to move. So he's just a DH. But that's just with Tristan Casas going down. But now you really have three things at play. Casas is out for the year. Bregman is out for an extended period of time. And Trevor Story stinks. So 3/4 of your starting infield, two of them are unavailable, and one you should make unavailable. Therefore, Marcelo Meyer can only play one of those three spots. So Marcelo Meyer, I think, should be your shortstop, right? Sit down Trevor Story, or even, I mean, play him at second maybe, but whatever. You gotta deal with Story.
If somebody's going to play out of position, it should be Story, not Meyer.
So let's say
Story's played second before. Yeah. He was very good at second. You're not hitting tough. I know you got a lot of money, but we're moving you off the position. And oh, by the way, I think he has an opt-out at the end of the year. Like, play him out of position to maybe nudge him out the door. I don't think he's that big of an idiot. But play him out of position to try to nudge him out the door.
But now suddenly you have so many openings. And maybe Devers, even though he is statistically the worst third baseman defensively, he's done it his whole career. You might have to, for the best interest of your whole lineup, put him back at third.
Well,
so could you have some sort of lineup of Meyer at short, Story at second, Campbell at first, and then Devers at third? You open up DH to, I don't know, is Masataka Yoshida alive? Could you get him? Or that's where you're working either a Roman Anthony or a Willie Abreu or somebody like that.
That's what I would do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would get Roman Anthony up here.
Who's hitting the screws off of it in Worcester.
Bare minimum, he's DHing, and you can work him in the outfield as well, because I don't think outfield is a strong suit. I don't think that's why he's here. He's here to hit. So bring him up, let him hit at DH. Devers is at third. Absolutely. I think that would be your best lineup.
Yeah. I mean, now it's extreme.
But not only, I don't think Devers is a good third baseman either, but in this scenario, what do I want? Meyer playing out of position at third where I'm not even sure what he is, or Devers where I at least know it's below average, but he's done it before. And as of 3 months ago, Keith, he wanted to do it.
Yeah.
Like
he was not anymore.
Upset that he left spring training.
Right.
And he considered, according to Sean McAdam, requesting a trade. He was so upset. Now he can't be bothered to volunteer and go do it. No one wants to ask him to go do it. Like, there's something dysfunctional there.
But also, one of my issues was with the whole idea of just having him replace Casas was, how much better is your lineup? Like, at that point, I was like, who's your DH? What are you even doing? You know, if Devers is now being inserted into the field, who's your DH? This lineup stinks so bad now that you do need to free up that spot. Even Yoshida, and I don't know how what his timetable is. Maybe he's way off. But even Yoshida is a much better at bat than Hamilton or Toro or some of these other guys that you're trotting out there.
Sogard.
So that's where you're like, all right, now we kind of do need you to play the field. It's not just a, hey, we don't have any other first baseman, we're going to make you do it. It's you have to go back to your natural spot, and hopefully it's still not going to be great, but it's the best lineup we can actually put
and
out
I don't get people any, like, if you didn't want Devers to play at first, like you didn't, Keith, I at least get it. I disagree with it, but I at least get it. I don't even get what people would say to this one. Like, oh, I guess they never should have signed Bregman in the front. Like, is that your solution? They shouldn't have brought Bregman and pissed off Devers? Yeah, like, what's Bregman's your solution?
Good.
Like, none of it is defensible. Do you think part of the reason Bregman sounded so down, Keith, isn't just because he's hurt? That's a big factor in it. Do you think any part of him is like, crap, I was trending towards having an opt-out year, opting out of $40 million. I was having such a good year. And I could kiss this place goodbye. Like, I could leave this place in the rearview mirror because he's not having a great experience.
He probably isn't, but he's probably also just so frustrated that, all right, if it was this bad with me in the lineup playing well, what's this going to look like now? He's not out for the year, so he's going to come back to this. What is it going to look like when he comes back?
Great question.
They could be, like, dead last place for all we know. I don't hate this from the text line. You could put Rafaela at short. Meyer could stay at third. Story could play at second. This way you do open up an outfield spot. So your outfield could be Anthony, Duran, Abreu. Rafaela now kicks into the infield. I'm good with that.
Well, I'm good with Anthony being here. That would not be my number one way of doing it. But fine. If it gets Anthony here, fine. I'll sign off on it. Like, figure that out. What'd you think of Meyer, by the way? We got our first look at Meyer this weekend.
Oh, I thought Meyer was, you know, he got thrown into it. It was a pretty crazy situation, as a lot of them can be when you get called up midseason, whether you're in the middle of a doubleheader or what, and you have to make the commute there. I thought his first, four at-bats in game one, there was definitely a little bit of that, all right, major leaguer for the first time, sort of adjusting to that and seeing what that's like.
And he said as much. He said after the first game, he's like, I thought I had a pretty good approach in my first at bat. And then he's like, my next three, I tried to do too much. Like, he said that.
That was
a tough spot to get thrown into.
Also, I think especially Fenway Park debut has got to be different than like Kauffman Stadium debut
getting a standing ovation.
Yeah.
Which,
and you've been thinking about that moment specifically for a long time.
There's been no good moment since then, but that was a great moment when he got a standing ovation. You're like, people are excited for this kid. Yeah. He wanted to be, he thought he should have broke camp with the big club.
Oh, for sure.
And so now he gets his moment. It's been all downhill from there. They've lost three straight. Really nothing good has happened, Myers mixed in a few hits in there.
Yeah, yes.
But no, I think...
I mean, it wasn't Marloni hitting a home run in his Major League debut at home.
No, it was not that.
But no, he got three hits in the series, so it's not like one of these things that snowballs and you're like, all right, you're in the majors, and the next thing you know, you're 0-15 or something, and then you got to dig your out of that hole. Like, no, he got three hits, he got a double. Like, it's a positive start.
He bounced back from the rough game at the plate in his debut. He did make an error as part of a Little League home run in, was it the Sunday game? Now they're all running together.
Mm-hmm.
But he had that as well, so it wasn't all perfect. But I'm happy he's here. Roman Anthony should be right on his heels. And I got to be honest, I don't even get anymore why Roman Anthony isn't
there. There's no reason for it. Like, there isn't, because the team isn't good. The team isn't healthy.
You don't have
guys blocking him.
I don't even think you're manipulating service time anymore at this point.
Everybody else is up.
All these teams have called their prospects up. You just called up Meyer. Now, in fairness, the only reason he's here is because Bregman's hurt. They wouldn't have called him up otherwise.
Which is also insane.
Which is shameful.
Yeah.
But all these other, the Diamondbacks called up Lawler. The Cubs have called up a couple of prospects, I think. Like, all these other teams are calling up their guys. I don't even think you're really manipulating the service time anymore. I don't get it.
No, it is comical because it's the end of May, and so all the different factors that would prevent him from being called up, like, none of those are in play. Like, is he struggling in the minors? No. Is there a log jam up at the majors? No. Is the team rolling right now without
Absolutely
him?
Absolutely not.
The opposite of that.
Yeah.
Like, do you feel like you're fast tracking him? No. Like, at this point, it's overdue. The other guys are already up here. He could join this team. There's an opportunity for him to play every day. Now, that goes back to Cora and Breslow. Is it as a DH? Is it as an outfielder? Whatever. You got to figure that out. But there is a spot for him.
Would you play him at first? Text line is asking first.
I wouldn't. And I don't even think you have to.
I wouldn't either. Bradford's made this point. The guy's never taken a ground ball. He's never played the infield.
You know, that's different than Devers or Meyer or Campbell.
All those guys are infielders.
Right.
I mean, Anthony hasn't taken ground balls.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
So I wouldn't do that. I want him in the lineup as much as anybody.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I wouldn't play him at first base.
But there's room for him. I can't see Abraham Toro and David Hamilton getting more of these at-bats. Like, it's Sogard. Like, I'm sick of that. You got to give yourself the best chance possible.
So, is the Red Sox season already over? Kind of feels that way. 617-779-7937. In a related story, pair of tickets to give away on a 2-for-Tuesday.
Good luck.
Red Sox and Angels, June 3rd at Fenway Park. You won't want to miss it. We'll do that coming up about 15 minutes from now. Shams was just on Pat McAfee, Keith.
Yes, he was.
A little bit of I wouldn't call this way out of left field. I think this should be on our radar.
Right.
But this is Shams with the latest on the Boston Celtics.
So let's go for the Celtics. They're going to make trades. The Boston Celtics will have a much different roster next season, potentially. They'll definitely have a different roster. The question is just how severe as far as the movement is going to be for them. I think you look at Jason Tatum. Of course, he's injured. Can't really trade him. That's really the face of your franchise. I think after that, it's really going to depend on what value can you get. I think teams are going to express a lot of interest in Jrue Holiday. Teams are going to inquire about Kristaps Porzingis. Teams are going to inquire about Jaylen Brown. And I think the Celtics are going to have to identify what value can we get for each of these players. Which player does it make sense to trade? Is there anywhere where we can get some players back that can help right now, potentially help us moving forward? We can get some assets for...
Okay, I mean, what jumps out to me is he's not ruling out Jaylen.
No, but he's even like, well, Tatum's hurt, so I'm like, you'll still get calls on Tatum. Like, if you're getting calls on everybody else, he kind of like skirts past Tatum, but he's like, but anyway, yeah. So Jaylen Brown to me is so different. It's funny to hear it come out of his mouth where he's like, they'll get calls on Holiday, Brown, Porzingis. I'm like, wait, hold on, like.
First of all, who's calling up Porzingis?
Yeah, who wants Porzingis to, like, don't hang up on them.
Right.
Like, for the love of God, make a deal. But, like, those guys are also different. Porzingis is hyper-injury prone and has 1 year left. Jrue Holiday kind of got old right before our eyes and has multiple years left.
Have you seen Mark Stein's been linking Jrue Holiday to the Mavs extensively? So,
okay,
maybe, I'm just saying, his name has definitely been out there over the weekend. Mark Stein wrote about
the
that.
Oldest team of all time.
Yeah.
Seriously.
But, yeah, I find it very interesting that Shams isn't dismissing the Jaylen idea. Because both you and I kind of dismiss it.
Yeah, I would absolutely dismiss it. I would say you got to find trades for Holiday and Porzingis. Get whatever you can. And next year, it's Jaylen Brown, Derek White. That's your duo. Peyton Pritchard. And then whatever you get for Porzingis and Holiday. And then, therefore, when Tatum does return, like, your team is pretty much that. And then you just add Tatum to what maybe is like a 4 or 5 seed team. You add Tatum back, and you're like, all right, here we go. You got to figure out the big guy because you're going to lose all your bigs. But, yeah, if they trade Jaylen Brown, I'd be shocked.
Me too. Are you surprised he didn't mention Derek White there? He mentioned Jason Tatum's name. He didn't even mention Derek White's name.
I am surprised by that because I feel like just based on salary, you'd get more for Derek White than Jaylen Brown. Brown's a better player, but is he twice the player? Because that's essentially what you're paying him, almost twice as much, 2.5 times as much. So Derek White is, I mean, we saw it firsthand with the Celtics. He'd be the perfect fit on any title-contending team. Derek White's a really useful player, and it's not, I mean, he makes $30 million or $28, $30 million, yep. But it's not 55, 60.
No. It's actually, I mean, the way these NBA contracts are, it's pretty reasonable.
Yeah, but he didn't mention him.
Right, which I find interesting. I think Derek White, if they traded him, I don't think they're going to, but if they traded him, that might be the biggest signifier that they're getting away from their play style. You know, like, because he
takes a lot of threes.
He's maybe the biggest offender of the play style.
He's Duncan Robinson, but he can play defense.
Like, he's jacking up 13 shots on 13 threes on 16 attempts or whatever it is. You know, like, some of these games, you guys all, that's pretty much all he does. He's pull up threes.
That's it on offense, yeah.
And that would tell me something that maybe they're looking to switch up their play style, but I wouldn't really be in favor of trading Derek White.
But also, if they
tell me what the return is, I'll trade anybody, but in a vacuum, I'm not looking to move him either.
But it's also, if they trade White or Brown, I look at it as, all right, how competitive do you think you're going to be in 27 when Tatum returns?
Right.
Because Porzingis and Holiday, even if one or both of them are on the team next year, you're like,
well, depends on what you trade Jaylen for. You trade Jaylen, as we've surmised, for the number one pick.
Cooper Flagg.
Then you could be competitive and build that around Tatum. But I don't think Dallas is doing that, and I don't think that's in play.
I also wonder just what kind of return are you getting for Holiday or Porzingis?
Oh, I bet Porzingis is more. I bet we're going to be surprised at how much they get for Porzingis.
Maybe.
It's only 1 year on his deal.
True.
Holiday, you're not going to get much for.
No, I wouldn't think so at all.
Holiday is old, not at his peak anymore. You know, he had a few throwback games in the playoffs, but he was hurt this year, and he's expensive, and he's under contract for three more years. You're not going to get much at all for Holiday.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. I would think this year would be pretty alarming to teams. Like, all right, 2 years ago you saw what Holiday did for this group. But if you're one of these teams that thinks you're like a Drew Holiday away, it's like, I don't know, you maybe the 2023 version of Drew Holiday or, you know, earlier, but I don't know about now.
No, and Porzingis, to me, a contending team could talk themselves into using him like, hey, we just got to get him healthy and we get him for 1 year and it's worth the risk. A rebuilding team could use him 1 year and then the contract's off the book. Like, I think a lot of teams.
Yeah, there's always that allure to Porzingis. And some team could say, all right, well, we have. Well,
but there's a big pool that you could trade Porzingis. Yeah. There's only a handful of teams that can talk themselves into Drew Holiday.
Yeah.
Like contending teams. No rebuilding team is talking themselves into Drew Holiday.
Detroit. Yeah, I don't know.
You know, like, I just don't think there's a lot of options. Meanwhile, with the playoffs, Keith, I continue to be just very frustrated, especially watching the East. Because, you know, I think even without Tatum, the Celtics could take down teams like New York and Indiana. I don't think either of these teams are great. Game four is tonight in Indy. Do you think New York still has a chance in that series? They won game three. They pulled it out of thin air.
I was going to say, you tune into that game, you know, early fourth quarter. You're like, this is a 3-0. This is going to be a sweep.
Before you got here today, Nick and I were talking. I shut it off.
Yeah, I thought it was a sweep.
I thought it was a 20-point game. I didn't even see the end of it. I shut it off.
Like, I'm going to watch Fear Street, Prom Queen. Not great.
So, you think they still have a chance?
The Knicks, no. I mean, because part of it is I thought the Pacers were going to win in six going in. So I was always sort of leaning Pacers. The first two and three quarters games certainly felt like it was all Pacers. So, no, I think Indiana bounces back tonight, and then it's going to be a 3-1 lead. And so I think the Pacers take care of business.
617-779-7937. A whole bunch of things to give you a heads up on. First of all, a reminder. Jones and Keefe are going to be at the Greg Hill Road Show on Friday in Newport at the Lobster Bar. We're going to be out the night before at the Landing on Thursday night. So we're very much looking forward to that. The Greg Hill Show, Road Show, After Show, something like that. What was that again, Courtney?
Oh.
So she's excited. Courtney's excited. I think that's
most sounded.
That's most people's reaction, I think, when they hear that we're going to be out. With the people. So that's Friday. Mark that down. Today at 3:15 on WEEI Afternoons, you got Hart, you got Fitzy, and you got the manager, Alex Cora, talking with the guys at 3:15. It's a Tuesday, so actually you got Ted as well, I should say. I will get you the clip du jour, and we also have another pair of tickets to give away to the Red Sox and Angels June 3rd at Fenway Park, all part of a 2 for Tuesday. And right after Trending with Billy Lanny, it's time for Grab Bag.